This is the visual that defines a collapsing presidency. If you walk past 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue this morning, you won't see the stately symbol of American democracy. You will see a disaster zone. You will see a massive mud-filled crater where the historic East Wing used to stand. You will see silent yellow cranes towering over the executive mansion like vultures. And for the first time in 6 months, you will hear something terrifyingly quiet. Silence. As of 8 a.m. this morning, Monday, January 26th, 2026, all construction on President Trump's controversial $400 million grand ballroom has been ordered to an immediate, indefinite halt. The ballroom from hell, as preservationists have called it, is dead in the water. A federal judge, an appointee of Ronald Reagan, no less, has just issued a blistering 40-page injunction that doesn't just stop the work. It accuses the administration of willful deception, statutory vandalism, and gross fiscal negligence. President Trump, already reeling from the Davos disaster, the Japan bond crash, and the seizure of his New York properties, has just been blindsided in his own backyard. He woke up this morning expecting to see concrete being poured for his monument. Instead, he woke up to a federal marshal taping a cease and desist order to the White House construction fence. The official reason? The money is gone. The private donations that were supposed to fund this massive vanity project have evaporated in the wake of the Japan financial crisis. And without the cash, the judge has ruled that the president of the United States is effectively squatting on public land, destroying national heritage with an unfunded mandate. In this deep dive special report, we are going to walk you through the stunning court order that just dropped. We are going to show you how the East Wing demolition has turned into a political suicide pact. We are going to expose the phantom donors who fled the moment the markets cracked. And we are going to explain why this stopped construction site is the perfect metaphor for a second term that has completely run out of road. The king wanted a castle. He ended up with a hole in the ground. To understand the severity of this ruling and why Washington is in a state of absolute shock this morning, we have to rewind to late 2025. Fresh off his inauguration, President Trump announced the most ambitious and destructive renovation in White House history. He argued that the traditional East Room was too small, too ugly, and embarrassing for hosting world leaders. He famously called the existing facilities third world in a leaked memo to his chief of staff. His solution was the Grand Ballroom, a proposed 90,000 square foot extension that would rival the palaces of Europe. He wanted gold leaf detailing. He wanted 30-foot ceilings. He wanted a dedicated victory balcony facing the Treasury Department. The price tag was astronomical, $400 million. But he had a plan to sell it to the public. He promised the taxpayers wouldn't pay a dime. He claimed that a coalition of private patriots, billionaire donors, had already pledged the full amount. He called it a gift to the nation. The cost, however, wasn't just financial, it was historical. To build this monstrosity, the administration argued they needed to demolish the existing East Wing. This meant the destruction of the family theater, the dismantling of the First Lady's offices, and the excavation of the historic gardens. Preservationists screamed. The National Trust for Historic Preservation sued immediately. They argued, you cannot tear down a UNESCO-adjacent site just because you want a bigger dance floor. They argued that the White House belongs to the people, not the temporary occupant. But Trump bulldozed them, literally. In December, his Department of Justice utilized a loophole. They argued that the project was a matter of national security, claiming the new structure would include a secure, state-of-the-art underground bunker to replace the aging PEOC, Presidential Emergency Operations Center. Judge Richard Leon, the federal judge overseeing the initial challenge, was skeptical. But faced with the national security card, he allowed the demolition to proceed under strict conditions. The East Wing came down in weeks. It was a shocking sight, wrecking balls hitting the White House complex, dust covering the Rose Garden. It was visceral, but the deal was simple. You can dig the hole, but you cannot pour a single ounce of concrete for the new structure until the money is in the bank and the design is approved by the National Capital Planning Commission. Trump gambled. He tore it down, assuming the money and the permits would follow. He assumed he could bully the donors and the regulators. He assumed wrong. This morning, Judge Leon returned to the bench, and according to everyone in the courtroom, he was furious. We have the court transcript released minutes ago. It reads less like a legal opinion and more like an indictment of the entire administration. The judge slammed the Department of Justice lawyers for what he called a bait and switch of monumental proportions. Here is the core of the ruling. The administration admitted in a closed-door sealed filing on Friday night that the private funding for the ballroom is currently missing. The pledge of $400 million was based on non-binding commitments from major donors, hedge fund managers, real estate moguls, and casino tycoons, the usual suspects of the MAGA donor class. But remember what happened this week? The Japan bond crash, the asset seizure in New York, the Davos walkout. Those donors, they are currently facing margin calls. They are watching their portfolios bleed red ink. When the Treasury Department called to collect the actual cash for the ballroom fund on Friday, the donors ghosted. One major donor, reportedly a Las Vegas casino magnate who had pledged $50 million, formally withdrew his pledge on Saturday night, citing market volatility and fiduciary responsibility to shareholders. Judge Leon's ruling was brutal. He wrote, "The executive branch has demolished a historic federal structure on the promise of replacement funds that do not exist. This court will not allow the People's House to be turned into an abandoned construction site fueled by phantom capital and broken promises." He ordered an immediate stop work order. He ordered the General Services Administration, GSA, to provide a plan to restore the site, meaning fill in the hole if funding is not secured within 30 days. Think about the implications of that order. The president of the United States might be forced by a federal judge to fill in the hole he dug, leaving the White House smaller, uglier, and less functional than when he found it. He will be the president who destroyed the East Wing and left a patch of grass in its place. But the ruling gets worse. The national security excuse, the shield Trump used to start the demolition, fell apart in spectacular fashion. For months, the White House claimed this ballroom was necessary for continuity of government. They claimed the basement would house a new situation room that would be impenetrable. In today's hearing, the judge unsealed a classified report from the Secret Service that the administration tried to hide. It turns out the Secret Service opposed the project. The report states that the massive construction zone has created a critical security vulnerability on the east side of the complex. The open pit exposes the foundations of the residents to drone attacks, acoustic surveillance, and tunneling risks. The Secret Service explicitly stated that the design of the glass-walled ballroom was a nightmare to protect. They called it a sniper's paradise and a surveillance magnet. The judge caught the administration in a lie. They used national security as a pretext to bypass historic preservation laws, when in reality, the project hurt national security. This destroys the legal defense for the project. It means the ballroom is not a government necessity. It is a vanity project. And under the Antiquities Act and the National Historic Preservation Act, you cannot destroy national monuments for vanity. The media is already calling it the ballroom from hell because it has effectively trapped the president in a legal and political inferno. Let's talk about the optics. Politics is optics. And these optics are devastating. President Trump is a man obsessed with aesthetics. He builds gold towers. He wears perfect suits. He wants to project an image of absolute perfection and control. Instead, he is living in a construction site. The view from the residence window where he sleeps is a mud pit. It's piles of dirt, idle machinery, and orange safety fencing. The noise of the now silent machinery has been plaguing the West Wing for months. Staffers report that meetings in the Oval Office were constantly interrupted by the beeping of reversing trucks and the pounding of pile drivers. And now, with the work stopped, it becomes a monument to failure. Every time a foreign leader visits, they have to be driven past the Trump crater. When the Prime Minister of the UK visits next month, their motorcade will drive past a hole in the ground covered in blue tarps. Every news broadcast doing a stand-up on the North Lawn has the yellow cranes in the background. It is a constant, physical, undeniable reminder that the president started something he couldn't finish. Compare this to the great builder persona he campaigned on. "I build things ahead of schedule and under budget. I will rebuild America." This project is behind schedule. It is over budget, it is unfunded, and now it is illegal. It connects perfectly to the asset seizure narrative we discussed yesterday. He can't pay for his building in New York. He can't pay for his ballroom in DC. The theme is insolvency. Why did the donors really pull out? It wasn't just the stock market crash, though that provided the excuse. It was the toxic brand. After the Davos disaster, where the president was openly laughed at by the world, putting your name on a Trump ballroom became a liability. Imagine being the CEO of a Fortune 500 company or a major hedge fund. Do you want your name engraved in marble on a ballroom that is being sued by every preservation group in America? Do you want to be associated with an administration that is seizing private property in Greenland and getting its own property seized in New York? The prestige of the project turned into poison. The donors realized that this ballroom might never be finished. Or worse, the next president, who, according to the wipeout polls, is likely to be a Democrat, might tear it down the moment they take office. Nobody wants to pay $50 million for a building that gets demolished in 2029. It's a bad investment. So they used the Japan crash as an excuse to flee. They looked at the volatility, they looked at the subpoenas coming from the judge, and they decided to close their checkbooks. And Trump is left holding the bag, or rather holding the shovel. There is also a legal angle here for the donors. The judge hinted in his ruling that if the funds were promised but not delivered, the donors might be subject to fraud on the court investigations if they signed affidavits claiming the money was secure. The donors are lawyering up. They are distancing themselves from the White House at record speed. The Trump donor class is fracturing. The Democrats are already weaponizing this, and they aren't holding back. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries released a statement minutes after the ruling. He tore down the East Wing. He tore down the economy. He tore down our alliances. Now he stands in the mud of his own making. He is the demolition in chief. It is a powerful, visceral metaphor. The East Wing contained history. It contained the spirit of past first ladies, Jackie Kennedy, Nancy Reagan, Michelle Obama. By destroying it for a ballroom, Trump played into the barbarian stereotype. And by failing to rebuild it, he plays into the incompetent stereotype. The poll numbers from the wipeout survey are being updated as we speak. Independents are disgusted by the waste. Focus groups are saying things like, why is he building a $400 million ballroom when gas is $6 a gallon? He cares more about his parties than my grocery bill. The contrast between his luxury obsession and the voters' economic pain is lethal. It reinforces the let them eat cake narrative. And the Republican senators, they are quietly furious. They have to defend this. They have to go on TV and explain why the White House looks like a strip mine. Senator Mitt Romney, or his ideological successor in the Senate moderate wing, was quoted on background saying, "This is what happens when you govern by whim, not by law. We warned him not to touch the East Wing. Now we all look like vandals." There is talk of a Senate inquiry. The Senate Committee on Public Works might call the GSA administrator to testify. They want to know who authorized the demolition without the funds in the bank. If that hearing happens, it will be a televised disaster for the administration. So what happens next? The judge gave them 30 days. Find $400 million in cash or fill in the hole. Can Trump find the money? Maybe. He could try to divert funds from the military like he did with the border wall in his first term, but the judge anticipated that. The order specifically bars the use of appropriated funds without congressional approval. And with the wipeout looming, Congress isn't giving him a dime. He could try to get a foreign government to pay for it. The Saudi ballroom, imagine the scandal. A foreign power paying for an addition to the White House. It would be impeachable instantly. It violates the emoluments clause in the most direct way possible. So the most likely scenario is the most humiliating one. The GSA hires a contractor to pour dirt back into the hole. They plant some grass. They restore the exterior wall of the residence. And the Trump ballroom becomes a phantom limb of history. This is the nightmare scenario for a man who wants to leave a physical legacy. He wanted to leave a palace. He is leaving a patch of fresh sod where a historic building used to be. It is a symbol of a presidency that promised greatness and delivered destruction. Let's contextualize what was lost. The East Wing wasn't just offices. It was built during World War II under FDR to hide the construction of the underground bunker, the PEOC. It has stood for over 80 years. It housed the First Lady's staff, the engine of soft power. It was the entrance for visitors. It was where the tours began. By tearing it down without a plan, Trump severed the social arm of the White House. Melania Trump, or the acting First Lady figure, has been reportedly homeless within the complex. Her staff is working out of a spare room in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, EEOB, across the street. They are separated from the residence. Reports suggest the First Lady is furious. The ballroom was supposed to be her legacy too, a place for her to host galas. Now it is her embarrassment. The internal friction this is causing in the East Wing versus West Wing dynamic is palpable. The National Trust for Historic Preservation is usually a quiet, polite organization. They hold galas. They save old post offices. For them to sue a sitting president is nuclear. They viewed this as an existential threat to the heritage of the United States. They argued that the White House is not the president's property. It belongs to the people. It is held in trust. Trump treated it like Mar-a-Lago North. He treated it like a tear down in Palm Beach. The judge's ruling solidifies a critical legal principle: stewardship, not ownership. This precedent will shackle Trump for the rest of his term. He won't be allowed to paint a wall without a permit now. The courts will be watching every renovation request with a microscope. Here is a detail the mainstream news missed. The construction crews on site, they belong to unions, the laborers, the crane operators, the cement pourers. When the Japan shock hit on Friday, the unions demanded assurance of payment. They know how Trump operates. They know his history of stiffing contractors in New York and Atlantic City. The contractor, likely a major firm like Turner or Gilbain, couldn't give that assurance because the donor money froze. The unions walked off the job before the judge's order. The judge just ratified what the labor market already decided: no pay, no play. Trump, the self-proclaimed builder, lost the support of the builders. The image of union workers walking off a Trump job site is a powerful signal to the working class voters he relies on. The claim that the ballroom was for a new situation room was the most dangerous lie of all. The current situation room in the West Wing basement was just fully renovated in 2024. It is state of the art. It cost $50 million. Intelligence officials testified in closed session that moving the sit room to a glass-walled ballroom basement was insane. "You don't put the most secure room in the world under a dance floor," one official said. "You don't put it next to a catering kitchen." The judge saw this testimony. It was the smoking gun that proved the national security claim was a pretext. It proved the administration was willing to compromise actual security for the sake of a party venue. There is a terrifying legal thread here for the White House counsel. If the administration submitted affidavits to the court claiming the money was secured when it was actually just promised, that is potentially perjury. The judge has ordered the White House to produce the donor commitments by Wednesday. He wants to see the names. He wants to see the signatures. If those documents show that the money was never truly there, that it was all smoke and mirrors, someone is going to jail. Not the president, but maybe the GSA administrator, maybe the campaign finance chair. This turns a construction dispute into a criminal fraud investigation. It opens a new front in the legal war, just as the ballroom front collapses. The ballroom from hell is the perfect capstone to this week of horrors. It started with a lie at Davos about Greenland. It continued with a financial crash in Tokyo. It hit home with a seizure in New York. And it ends with a hole in the ground in Washington. The structure of the Trump presidency is collapsing, just like the East Wing. The foundations, money, fear, image, competence, are gone. We are watching a president under siege in his own home, literally. He can't build, he can't borrow, he can't brag. The only thing he can do is rage at the mud outside his window. We will be monitoring the GSA filings closely. If they issue a remediation contract, aka the fill-in order, we will let you know immediately, because that will be the moment the Trump era officially runs out of concrete. The builder president has become the destroyer president, and the hole in the ground on Pennsylvania Avenue is the undeniable proof. Sarcastic, subscribe, like, share.